Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family, a time to discover what God has to say to us through His Word. One time a man was preaching from these words in the Bible: "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema." The message was unusually solemn, as he explained the meaning of the word anathema. It means cursed with a curse, cursed of God with a bitter, grievous curse. When he rose to pronounce the benediction, he paused and said, "How shall I bless this whole assembly, when every person in it that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ is anathema?" A curse is a terrible thing. In our studies in just a few moments, we'll notice that the Apostle Paul pronounced two curses regarding the same error in the space of two verses. Before we look at that passage, may I remind you that we've just begun a new series of studies in Galatians, this letter that is considered by many to be one of the most important in the New Testament. If you would like information on obtaining these lessons on Galatians, stay tuned for our address at the close of the program. We also encourage you to get your Bible and study along with us. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. That's Galatians 1, the 8th and 9th verses. "But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed." This is a very important matter, because Paul twice pronounces a solemn curse. The point is this: God has only one message for doomed sinners. He offers salvation by grace through faith, entirely apart from law-keeping. Those who proclaim any other way of salvation must necessarily be doomed. How very serious it is to preach a message which results in the eternal destruction of souls. Paul was not tolerant of such false teachers, and neither should we be. It has been well said that whereas the law has a curse for those who fail to keep it, the gospel has a curse for those who seek to change it. Let me repeat that. The law has a curse for those who fail to keep it. The gospel has a curse for those who seek to change it. Now Galatians 1, verse 11. "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." Galatians 1, 11. Paul now embarks upon a defense of his ministry. His critics have been launching many savage attacks against him. No doubt they denied the genuineness of his message. Probably they denounced his preaching as unscriptural and ignorant because he gave no place to circumcision or other Jewish observances. He answers them right here in this letter with six effective arguments from his own personal history. First, and this was in the verse that we just read, his gospel was received by divine revelation and independently of man. It was not according to man. In other words, it did not originate with man. A moment's reflection will confirm this. Paul's gospel makes everything of God and nothing of man. This is not the kind of salvation that a man would devise. Paul did not receive it from some other person. Neither did he learn it through books. It came to him by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Secondly, Paul's failure to include Jewish law in his gospel could not be laid to any ignorance of Judaism on his part. By birth and early training, he was steeped in the law. By his own personal choice, Paul became an outstanding persecutor of the church. In passionate zeal, he surpassed many other Jews of his own age. We conclude then that his gospel of salvation by faith apart from the law was not a result of his being ignorant of the law. Why then did he omit the law? Why did his gospel run counter to his background, to all that he'd been taught? Simply because it was not the result of his thinking, but was given to him directly by God. Let's pause here in our study for some music. I hope that we can be as clear in our understanding of the gospel as Paul. We are saved by faith plus nothing. The law, good works, or anything else that we might do has no part in our salvation. Jesus paid it all. When Paul wrote about the law, he knew it well. He had studied it from his youth. Also in his day, the rabbis had added some 600 or so human commandments. Thus we see how very important this letter is, this letter to the Galatians. It stresses the simplicity of salvation completely apart from the law. You are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. And we're on page 7 of our study manual on Galatians. If you do not have a manual, please write to us for information. Our address is given at the close of the program. Paul continues his defense of his ministry. His third point brings before them the fact that the first few years of his ministry were carried on independently of the other apostles. After his conversion, he did not consult with human leaders, nor did he go up to Jerusalem where the other apostles were. Instead, he went to Arabia, then returned to Damascus. His determination to avoid Jerusalem was not out of disrespect for his fellow apostles. It was rather because he had been commissioned by the risen Lord himself and given a unique ministry to the Gentiles. Hence his gospel and his service needed no human authorization. He was independent of man altogether. In verse 17 he says, "I went away into Arabia." Every servant of the Lord needs a time of seclusion and meditation. Moses had his 40 years on the backside of the desert. David was alone with God when he tended sheep on the hillsides of Judea. Sometimes in the rush of the space age, we forget this need in our lives. Fourthly, when Paul finally visited Jerusalem, he met only Peter and James. After that, he spent much of his time in the areas of Syria and Cilicia. This is why the churches in Judea did not know him personally. All they knew was that this man, who had treated the Christians so cruelly, was now a Christian himself and was preaching Christ to others. This, of course, caused them to give glory to God because of what he had done in the life of Paul. Now Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Galatians 2:1. "Then after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also." The fifth point that Paul makes is this. During a later visit to Jerusalem, the apostles agreed that his gospel was divine. Because the church began at Jerusalem, and the apostles more or less made that city their headquarters, some Christians felt that the church there was the quote-unquote mother church. Thus, Paul had to contend with the charge that he was somewhat inferior because he was not one of the Jerusalem apostles. Paul here gives a detailed account of his later trip to Jerusalem. He received a revelation from Christ to go, together with Barnabas, his co-worker, and Titus, a Gentile converted through Paul's ministry. The Judaizers had insisted that Titus be circumcised for full salvation. The Apostle Paul was adamantly opposed because he realized that the truth of the gospel was at stake. And by the way, later when Paul himself circumcised Timothy, no important principle was involved. E.F. Kevin says, Paul saw that circumcision for justification was not the innocent little rite that the unthinking man might assume it to be. To undergo circumcision was to seek to be justified by a legalistic method of law-keeping, and thus to deny the very foundation of grace. As you know, circumcision is a minor surgical operation performed on the male. When God ordained it for Abraham and his descendants, he intended it as a sign of his covenant with them. It meant that he would be their God and they would be his people. It was not only a physical mark, but also a spiritual symbol. Thus, Abraham was circumcised as a sign that he trusted God. The Jews, however, soon forgot the spiritual meaning of circumcision and carried it out as a rite or ceremony. In the New Testament, circumcision is no longer commanded since God is now dealing in grace with Gentiles and Jews alike. In the early days of the church, a group of Jewish believers insisted that circumcision was necessary for salvation. This party or group was known in the New Testament as the circumcision. It surely is a warning to us today to not allow anything, even something very good, to become a step to salvation. We are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Be sure that yours is that kind of salvation. Also, before we leave you, a reminder to mail your exams for lessons 1 and 2 to the address indicated. If you have questions, send them to us. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.